Hi, this is Shirin and you're listening to Vocal Local. Today I'm talking to Mark Parisian. I've actually come out to his lovely houseboat out by the dirt track.
Gypsy Rose?
Gypsy Rose. Mm. How did it come to have that name?
It was given the name by the previous owner. Her name was Stella, very notorious. Stella Huege de Seville, a very notorious old Oaxacan I bought it from, an old friend of mine.
Yeah. Right. And you've been quite involved in this 350 climate change initiative. So I wanted to just ask you a bit about that.
Yeah, the 350.org was set up by someone named Bill McGibbon from Vermont in America. And he came to the island and spoke. And I went to the talk, and I was totally taken away with it, as I've been involved with other climate change initiatives that I tried to start up in the island on my own in the past. But I won't go into those. But anyway, then I found out that this 24th October, which is the International Day of Climate Change Actions, which is happening a week from yesterday, or next Saturday. On the 24th of October, there's 1,760 actions happening worldwide, and I just heard today that there's 100 in New Zealand. And New Zealand, being the place where the sun rises for the entire world, that our climate change actions next Saturday will be the first ones. And we'll send a photograph of our action at the Saturday morning market, and along with the other 99 from New Zealand. And they'll be showing those at a big screen in Times Square, New York City, as well as being sent to the other 350.org actions around the world.
Wow, that's incredible. So what is the action next Sunday?
The action is called Parade for the Planet, 350 Steps for Climate Change. See, all of these actions worldwide have something to do with 350. Like there's actions going on down in Wellington. Let's see. There is a 350 human sculptures happening in Wellington on that day. There's 350 trees being planted. There's dancing in Britomart in Auckland. There's impromptu choirs in Christchurch. There's school bike rides in Masterton, and there's a massive spring food festival in Dunedin. So all of these have the word 350 in them. Now, what 350 means is 350 parts per million is the maximum amount of carbon dioxide that the scientists say that we can allow to exist in our atmosphere. If we go beyond 350 and beyond what it is now, even, which is right now we're beyond that, we're at 387 parts per million carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. We are going to have a much higher temperature range increase. Instead of 2 degrees, we might increase 5 degrees. We'll lose our biodiversity, for instance. All the animals around the planet will start to die. And human beings and the climate, in terms of storms and typhoons and things, it's going to be, it could be very ugly in terms of the number of people that die. This recent tsunami in Samoa would be very small potatoes compared to what will be happening in 20 to 30 years if we don't keep our parts per million carbon dioxide below 350. So we're using 350 in the sense of we're taking 350 steps between the Belgium Street Auckland City Council office parking lot and the Labor Day Market, Ostend Market, which is just down the street. And that'll take about 17 and a half minutes at the rate we plan to walk.
So have you paced it out?
No, I haven't paced it out. I'm not worried about the small stuff. I went and walked there yesterday to find out, because tomorrow will be a very full market, possibly the biggest of the year. Maybe Easter is bigger, but anyway, it'll be a very big market with lots of Aucklanders there on Labor weekend, on the 3-day weekend. So we can't walk through the market as I'd hoped. It's going to be much too crowded for that. You can't take a parade through a crowded space. So we're going to walk down and around the entire market and show up at the grassy area down at the end near where there's paintball and the horse riding down there. And we're carrying outside, we painted a large earth out on the end of the houseboat. I didn't show it to you, Shirin, but we have a large earth painted with the earth on it, a big globe. And that's going to be carried by 7-meter bamboo poles, which you can see standing in the tree right out right out over here.
Oh, yeah.
See those two poles?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Those two poles will be holding the Earth, and then there's a banner underneath it that will read 350 Parade for the Planet, which is our offering to this to the 100 actions in New Zealand and the 1760 actions worldwide.
Well, that sounds incredible. It sounds like you've put in an incredible effort.
Well, after I met Bill McKibben, I thought other people would be setting up an action. But just a few weeks ago, I went online to find out if there were any Waiheke actions, and I saw there's no Waiheke, and there's nothing happening on Waiheke. And I just went, oh, no, I don't want to do this. No, please, no, not me. But I just said, okay, someone's got to do it, or at least try. So that's what I've been doing for the last couple of weeks and coming up with the idea of, at first it was going to be 350 steps of walking meditation because I'm a Buddhist meditator and done a lot of walking meditation. But after our first meeting, we had two other people, I let the walking meditation go. It's gone. It's history. But because it just doesn't suit the population. So we'll just take 350 steps now.
Well, I'm sure people can meditate and do walking meditations
if they want
the way
to.
If they wanted to.
That's right. So everyone's going to be wearing green and blue costumes, and there are going to be prizes for the best costume for an adult and the children. And it's going to, hopefully people get quite outrageous with their costumes, as I will be getting. Elizabeth next door, who does costumes, is doing my costume.
Oh, wow.
I have interested to see that. So we'll be carrying this large earth, and we'll be having a lot of the drummers in the island will be with us. And I had tried to get Sister Shout and V12 to sing at the end in the market, but that wasn't possible. So,
what time are people meeting?
We're meeting at 9:30 in the morning next Saturday at the Auckland City Council office parking lot there. And then at 10 o'clock we'll be departing there with the parade single file.
So people should wear green and blue.
Green and blue, green and blue makeup, green and blue masks, the wilder the better. And bring their musical instruments, bring their children, bring
And there was a suggestion of organizations coming along as well, wasn't there?
That's right. Hopefully I have a few organizations coming and bringing their own banners. Because, like, for instance, the Waste Resource Trust that I've been in touch with, they may bring their banner because they're in the same business as we are. We're all trying to reduce and take care of our children's and our grandchildren's climate by reducing the parts per million of carbon dioxide in the environment to keep it down at 350. So we're all in this together. The Transition Town is in it, the Fabulous Fruit Tree Group, the Community Orchards. All of us are on the same wavelength here. And so we want to care for our climate and so that our children can have the same climate we did.
Mm. Oh, no, it's a great idea.
Yeah.
And so have you got ideas of other things that people can be doing to I don't know, reduce carbon footprints?
Well, I just went to the meeting the other day that the Waste Resource Trust offered. We had a potluck over at the Surfdale Hall, and we talked about a lot of different ways. I personally have a smart meter, and for years, and I've done many books on retrofitting existing houses to make them more sustainable. So that's my love. That's my pet love. Like here on the houseboat, we have solar power, and I have an inverter, and we recycle everything, you know, including our human waste onto the fruit trees or into the garden. And so we only drive the van if we have to carry something. We drive a scooter otherwise. So we're trying to cut down on that. And I'm going to be building a solar hot water heater so we can get rid of the gas califant that heats our water for our showers. But I would like to offer free energy audits on the island with my smart meter. Well, they could call me at any time or the Waste Resource Trust, and I would just be one of their people that do this. And that's why I was so excited by the meeting coming up, because I was planning on doing it by myself if no one else was going to do it, and just offer free energy audits. I'd go into their homes and ask for their past electric bills, and I would take my smart meter around to every implement in their house. We turn it on, and I could tell them the exact number of watts and amps that are being used in that time. I could tell them the cost per hour of operating that
apparatus. Oh, I'd love you to do that at my house.
Oh, great.
And I'll tell you why, because in the last 3 months, my electricity bill, apropos of nothing, has really shot up. Ah. So I'm now paying like $150 a month in electricity, and I have no idea what the difference has been, and I'm not sure if there's a leakage or...
Well, great. You can be the first one, my first challenge.
Oh, that would be excellent.
Yes, I have to learn this. There's an organization in New Lynn called the Sustainable Living Center, and they already offer those audits and have been for a few years. They pay $40 each for the audits or something, but they've gotten help from national organizations to get funding for that. So that's why they only pay $40. But I'm retired. I have nothing to do but give my time away. And so I'd love to do it for free for people.
Oh, well, we can do a little show on it.
Great.
You can come down and check it out. Yeah.
Okay,
oh,
good.
Great, good.
Would you like to hear the song I wrote?
Oh, yes, I would.
Okay.
What's the song about?
Well, this is about 350 parts per million. As I told you, the 350 parts per million is the maximum number or parts per million that we can have in our environment and keep the climate to a standard that's acceptable for our children and grandchildren. So I know it sounds hard to put the words 350 parts per million or carbon dioxide in a song, but I've done it anyway. So I'm not a songwriter, but I'd love to sing it.
Excellent.
Okay, here it is. 350 parts per million carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, 350 parts per million just to show our care. For the climate of our grandchildren depends on us to change the way we live. Our earth depends on us to get her there. 350 parts per million carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. 350 parts per million just to show our care. How could anyone fail to notice that the question posed by future Earth is what can we each do to make a change?
Woo!
Woo!
Excellent!
Woo!
Oh, thank you for that.
Oh,
so that was Mark Parisian singing a song he wrote for
350 parts per million.
So you're listening to Mark Parisian. This is Vocal Local. And after the break, we're going to be talking about the houseboat that he's been living on for
10 years.
10 years. So Mark's just taken me on a tour of his houseboat, the Gypsy Rose, and I've never been on any of the houseboats down here at the dirt track, so I was just going to ask you about, you know, what it's like and, you know, what makes living on a houseboat special.
Okay, well, first of all, the term houseboat is not really, it's a misnomer in one sense, because we have no motor, no propeller, no ability to move. These 7 houseboats that you pass on the way to the Dirt Track Club, they've been here for 30 years. They'll never go anywhere. We're 10 feet from the shore as we stand here, as Sharon looks out on my water tank and on our garden on the shore. So these boats don't move anywhere. We're in the mangroves, where the bird life is really sweet down here, and the tides come up and down, and there's eels, and the kids love to watch the crabs in the crab holes. There's 5 of the boats that are come up and down in the tide and sit on the mud, and that's one of mine is one of those 5. And then the other 2 are in the stream here. We're looking out the living room window now, looking at Andy and Elizabeth's houseboat next door, and that comes up and down with the stream because it's in the deeper part of the water of the stream, so that never sits on the mud. But these other 5, they sit down on the mud. So it's a floating home, we could call it, rather than a houseboat. A person named Russell Condor built most of these houseboats, and he's written a book on houseboats years ago. And so, Russell, if you're out there, hello. He's had the computer shop for a while right there on the right as you're coming up from the supermarket.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, he built this houseboat, and I bought it from an old notorious woman named Stella Huedge de Seville. Her daughter Sylvia was the arts columnist with the Gulf News for years. So any old Oaxacans will know who Stella is, who lives in Thames now. And she used to live here with Johnny Flynn, who's back on the island now. He has a silver beard and silver hair, and he's a fiddler. He used to make his living panhandling with his fiddle in Auckland and all over this country. So it's got a lot of history here. And we have a VCR and a DVD here and a television we're looking at in the living room here. We have a phone line. That's the only thing we pay a bill on. We're on a landline. The telephone company will allow you to bring a phone line to anywhere because no one can get hurt from that. But the electricity company will not. So we produce our own electricity from photovoltaic panels on the roof. I have 4 80-watt panels up on the roof, which come down to 4 6-volt batteries underneath my kitchen counter over there next to the stove. And then I have an inverter to change that 12-volt system, to change the 12 volts into 240 volts for the use of the television and the VCR and the computer printer and the juicer and the blenders and things like that we use. But the electrical system, the lighting system is all in 12 volts. The computer works off 12 volts. And the pump that pumps the water from the tanks on the shore, that's a 12-volt pump. But everything else we have a gas califant to give us hot water, as you can see over on the wall there. And that's pumped by the 12-volt pump under the bathroom sink over there to the gas califant, and that provides our hot water for our shower and our bathroom sink and our kitchen sink there. And then we have a gas fridge here, a large gas fridge to keep our food cold.
So I always thought that living on a houseboat would be a lifestyle choice and you wouldn't have that much electricity, but it doesn't, you know, it seems like you could be pretty much living in a house.
That's right. We've got everything that you can imagine. Now, as you see, if you look out the window outside onto the deck, Stella had a washing machine. Well, that's the ultimate of the difference. That if I were to use that washing machine, it would kick those batteries right in the guts for about a week.
Oh, really?
So the worst I do is a vacuum cleaner. Vacuum cleaning is a really hard thing to use on this system as well. So you could never use radiant heating, for instance. Radiant heating uses huge amount of electricity. You couldn't use a big motor like a washing machine for a prolonged amount of time. And vacuum cleaner is very dodgy. So I try not to use that in the winter when the sun's not as strong.
And so then how do you wash your clothes?
We go down to Fossil Bay Farm. We have permission from Matt, who's the manager down there, and we use the youth hostel washing machine.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, excellent. So I didn't realize that. The vacuum cleaners pull a lot of energy.
They do, yeah. Yeah, anything with a big motor like that has to... Like, if you look at a vacuum cleaner, you'll see sometimes 1,000 watt. Mm. 1,000 watts is a lot of power. So it's too much for our batteries to do. Mm. So we just try to use it when the sun's shining and when we have really good, well-charged up batteries. But even so, sometimes in the winter when the sun's not so strong, we can't use that at all. In fact, sometimes it'll get so low that our TV will just shut off.
Right.
The whole system will crash, in other words. And at that point, we've got to use as little electricity until the sun shines again.
So do you have special blockers on your TV and stuff so it doesn't surge?
No, there is no surge. That's only in the mains you get surging. Only on the mains, if a mains electrical thing got lightning on it or something. But a little home system has no surging. It's just run by this inverter, as you see right there, that's changing it from 12 volts to 240 volts. And so if that were to crash... Then we have all the 12 volts still. We still have all our lights,
okay.
We still have our water pump. And so the only thing we couldn't use if the inverter crashes and we can't use 220 volts or things like that multi-food blender thing and the juicer and the printer on the computer and the TV, we couldn't use that.
Okay.
Yeah. Not very often, just the depths of winter when the sun's not strong.
Mm. So how did you come to be in New Zealand?
I I had a dream to sail. I loved sailing. So when I was in my late 20s, I was a mime clown mask juggler for 35 years before I retired about 11 years ago. But at that time, I had the Santa Barbara School of Mime for 9 years. I taught mime up and down the California coast and did performances. And I found a sailboat down in Los Angeles for $3,000, an antique boat called the Choi Li, a little 23-foot sailboat. And I sailed it up to Oxnard, California, and I worked full-time on it for a year, getting it ready for the sail, and I sailed single-handed on this little boat just with sitting headroom inside, and came down and did free shows in every village that I passed through, all through the islands. Like we just, today, we're up to the Samoa Relief Concert right up here at the Wool Shed, and I remember all the shows I did in Fiji when I was there, and also in Samoa. I did shows in all the schools and communities and for their festivals. But the first night in every village, I would do a free show for the village in mime, mask, clown, and juggling, and become kind of a celebrity. So it was a great thing to give away to they'd never seen anything like it before.
Sounds tremendous. Have you taught on the island? Because there are a few people into mime.
Oh, years ago I taught at the primary school. Now I was just talking to Colin Bearden from the theater about offering a class for the youth in mime and mask or clown in next winter. And I teach for a while. Baz Catchion, who does the videos, he was teaching every Sunday morning. He would teach unicycle, and I would teach juggling for free. The kids could come down, and I could teach them juggling, and he would teach them unicycling.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for talking to me.
Yes, and hopefully you and your kids will come kayaking tomorrow morning with your husband. And
yeah, that's going to be a treat.
The high tide in the morning.
Yeah, no, that sounds lovely.
Great.
So you've been listening to Mark Parisian. This is Vocal Local. And come down on the 24th of October for the 350 initiative.
9:30 at the council offices. For a 10 o'clock start, we'll walk to the Austin Market, the Labor Weekend Austin Market.
Wear
blue and green, be outrageous, and
make lots of noise.
And win the prize for the most outrageous adult or the most outrageously dressed child.
Thanks very much, Mark.